In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Mark, which we just heard the very beginning of, is the only of the four Gospels that begins with the preaching of St. John the Baptist. However, when you read all four Gospels, you see what a significant figure St. John the Baptist was. St. Matthew's Gospel begins with the genealogy of Christ and then the account of his birth, but then as soon as it's finished talking about the birth and then Christ's flight into Egypt and his return, it begins to talk about the preaching of John the Baptist and then Christ's baptism, which we'll celebrate tomorrow. The Gospel of Luke gives us more information that precedes the baptism of Christ than any of the other Gospels do, but actually it starts talking about the birth of St. John the Baptist before it even introduces the characters of the Virgin Mary or Christ or Joseph. And then after it gives more details, it talks about its birth, and then St. Luke's Gospel is the only Gospel that tells us about an incident in his youth in which he went to Jerusalem at the age of 12 and was teaching in the temple. But after that, it again goes to the preaching of St. John the Baptist and then Christ's baptism. The Gospel of St. John talks about Christ's origins from all eternity. And it begins with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." We hear these verses on Pascha itself, so important is this passage, but after talking about this incredible truth of Christ's origins from all eternity, in verse 6, the very next verse, it tells us, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," and it begins to talk about St. John the Baptist. So St. John the Baptist was not just a minor figure in the Gospels, but he played a very crucial role. In the Gospel that we just read, we heard a very brief account of St. John the Baptist's ministry, but yesterday in the Gospel reading in St. Matthew, we heard one that's similar, but it provides us a little bit more detail. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." St. John's preaching was focused on repentance and the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And if we are to prepare ourselves to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we have to repent. The way of the Lord is prepared, the fathers tell us, when all the obstacles that are in that way are removed. And we remove those obstacles by repentance. We have to remove everything that stands in the way of Christ. Everything that stands between us and him has to be taken out of the way by repentance so there can be no hindrance to our relationship. So if there's anything in your life that you know is not right, or if there's anything that you know you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing, these are the kinds of things that you need to change if you're serious about your spiritual life, because these things will prevent you from getting anywhere spiritually. In verse 4 it says, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." St. John the Baptist dressed in the manner of the prophet Elijah. If you read the description of how the prophet Elijah dressed, it's very similar to what is described here. And the prophets foretold that before the Messiah would come, the prophet Elijah would come before him. Now, when St. John the Baptist was asked, "Are you the prophet Elijah?" he said, "No." But when Christ was asked about Elijah's coming, he said, "Elijah's already come," because St. John the Baptist, I believe it was the angel, foretold that he would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. But the point is, on the one hand, St. John the Baptist was not a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, as some occultist and people who are trying to mix Christianity with Eastern mysticism will try to tell you. That's not true. He's not the very same person, but he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he fulfilled that prophecy. But what was the meaning of St. John's baptism? Why was baptism such a big deal? Well, Several years ago, I read a couple of books on Judaism by a rabbi. It was like Judaism for Dummies, but it wasn't entitled that. One was To Pray as a Jew, and the other one was To Be a Jew. And I can't remember which of those books he pointed this out, but he said that before Jews will build a synagogue, they'll first build a mikveh. And what is a mikveh? A mikveh is like a baptistry, because ritual cleansing is so important to the Jews that they would rather have that and not have a synagogue quite yet than have a synagogue and not have a ritual bath. But one of the things that was done in ritual bathing was when you had someone who was not a Jew, but he became aware of the Jewish faith and came to believe in the God of Israel and he desired to become a Jew, one of the things that he had to do was he had to take a ritual bath. He had to be cleansed because he was unclean as a Gentile, and he was made clean through that washing. So what St. John the Baptist was saying to the Jews of his day was that you people are like the infidels. You're unclean, and you need to be cleansed, and you need to repent. It says that they came confessing their sins and were baptized, and so it wasn't just that they went and got baptized and went through the motions. They confessed their sins publicly, and then they were baptized. In verse 7 it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." It's not enough to simply be sorry for your sins. It's not enough to even be baptized. You have to bring forth the fruits of repentance. You have to first repent. You have to be baptized. You have to believe. But you have to bear fruits worthy of repentance. We have to live a Christian life. It's not enough. We can't just depend on the sacraments of the church to save us if we're not putting forth any effort on our part to actually do what we know that we're supposed to do. That doesn't mean that we earn our salvation. But St. John the Baptist is telling us, and God speaking through him is telling us, that we have to do this. Verse 9, he says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." It wasn't enough in the days of St. John the Baptist to be a Jew or to be a son of Abraham. And it's not enough to be a Greek or a Russian or a Serb or any other ethnic group that's connected with the Orthodox Church traditionally. It's not enough to even have pious parents. It's a great benefit to have pious parents. Your parents, when they set a good example, hopefully they inspire you to live a Christian life, but you, as an individual, have to bear off the fruits of repentance if you wish to be saved. You have to remove all the obstacles in your heart and in your life and receive the kingdom of heaven into your hearts if you want to be ultimately received into the kingdom of heaven at the dread judgment. Verse 10, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." What he's saying to the Jews is the judgment's already at the door. The axe is not just coming on its way to the tree. The axe is already at the root of the tree. But he says that it's dependent on the tree as to whether or not it's going to actually be chopped down. If the tree, and of course trees don't have any will, so they can't choose to bear fruits of repentance, or good fruit or bad fruit. That's one of the problems with analogies. If you press any analogy too far, it starts to break down. But the point that St. John the Baptist is making is, unlike trees that don't have any choice about what kind of fruit they're going to bear, we do. We have that choice. But if we don't bear fruit, we can't depend on having 20 more years for us to repent after we've lived the life that we want to live selfishly and for sin, and then count on being able to repent before the end. The axe is already at the root. And the imagery there is, you can just imagine a farmer who's got a bad tree. He's taking that axe, he's chopping up those roots, he's ripping it up, and then he's throwing it into a bonfire, because he's going to plant a better tree there, a tree that's going to actually bear good fruit. So on the one hand, you could say that on a big scale, this was applied to the Jews that rejected Christ, that the fact that they were a part of the people of God was taken away from them, and it was given to the Gentiles who believed, although, of course, there were many Jews that did believe and remained part of the church. But on an individual level, each and every one of us has to consider whether we are bearing the kind of fruit that's going to keep us from being hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Fire can bring warmth. It can also be used to cleanse. And if we bring forth the fruits of repentance, if we believe and are baptized as Christ commands us later in the Gospels, then we will receive the Holy Spirit and will be cleansed of all our sins. But fire can also destroy. And if we don't bring forth the fruits worthy of repentance, we will be cut down by the acts of divine judgment and cast into the fire. So the decision is ours. Today, later this afternoon, we're going to be blessing the waters, and we're going to begin to enter into the joy of the feast of the baptism of Christ. But Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness for our sake, so that having lived the perfect life and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we might be saved. But we must believe, we have to confess our sins, we have to actually repent. And repent, as I've said many times, is twofold. It means changing your mind about sin, and it means turning from your sin. So your attitude has to change, and your behavior has to change if you've really repented. We have to begin to bear the fruits of the Spirit that St. Paul talks about in his epistles. If we fail to do so, or if we have failed to do so, we can renew our baptism with the baptism of tears, the tears of repentance. And then we will again be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit and able to remove all that hinders our spiritual life. We will prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts and then make his path straight and receive the kingdom of heaven. Amen.